Welcome to another episode of Salesforce Trails and Trials, where we help you accelerate your career and turn soft skills into hard money by mining gold from project failures, bringing insights from ecosystem experts, and inspiration from others on the trail. Now joining us with over 20 years in the ecosystem, please welcome our host, John Klein.
Good afternoon, Eric. Happy to have another episode of Salesforce Trails and Trials.
Hey, good to see you too, John.
To everyone, you might be curious, but I'm here in Los Angeles, and thank God the fires have not gotten any closer than 5 miles of us. And so we've just been doing our part to, you know, provide water and whatever we can to help the amazing first responders out here. And I'm very sorry for everyone who's been impacted by that. I'm sure there'll be opportunities for us to support them for many years to come. So appreciate anyone's concern.
Yeah, we feel it. I'm 500 miles away and we feel the anxiety up here. So I've had people from New Jersey reach out to me and ask how things are going, and it's all appreciated.
Yeah. Well, it affects the whole state. I mean, you know, we think about home insurance and I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. So all of us will be in this together no matter what here in California. Let's talk about our People First Minute today. What's on your agenda?
Agentforce is on top of my mind. Agents are surprising sales engineers at Salesforce with how great they are. I had one of my guys configure a troubleshooting agent by uploading a Linux troubleshooting guide to the agent, and somebody who was a Linux admin could go through and actually converse with the agent, and the agent would tell them, oh, run this command, and it sounds like you're out of storage. You should look at this. It's amazing. That said, when you're looking at agents, you need to look at asking the right question. What should this agent do? The human part is, it's not about can it do it. It's, is there an ROI for this use case for your company? And your metrics, whether it's say a customer service scenario, let's say the agent is being used to offload easy questions or questions of a certain kind, the evolution of thought or of learning that our customers are going through is, yay, agents work. And the next one is, oh, I thought of a use case. Great. Well, that's not enough. What's the ROI of your use case? What are you spending right now internally on that use case? And then there's a cost to Agentforce. So let's make sure, and the sales team feels this way too, let's make sure your use case is less expensive when it's running through Agentforce than it is when you're doing it. People can think up of all kinds of easy use cases for agents, but the important part is you got to measure the cost that you're going to be improving.
Right. And probably there's a lot of people that just haven't been thinking about it. The cost is like, I hired someone to do the job.
Yeah. The cost is I've got, you know, 20 agents and they're whatever, $60,000 a year. There's my cost, and they might not go deep enough. We're going to solve not all cases, because some cases are truly hard and not appropriate for the agents or require multiple systems access and you don't have the integration set up. But let's look at each of your case reasons or your case types, and let's look at those and see if we can actually handle entire columns or categories of your cases. And let's look at the cost for each of those case types. That is what will help you figure out your ROI. How much time are your people spending on password resets? Oh my gosh, 70% of that, 50% of it, whatever. Well, let's look at that. But if they're only hitting it like whatever, once a week, like that's not worth an agent.
For sure. It's a really good example of the use case. Right? Just thinking about the anxiety people have about, you know, the agents eroding their role or potential staff. That's a great example mm-hmm. of there's lots of repetitive work that's largely annoying. Password resets, you know, like frequently asked questions, stuff that people get calls about, right? I think the agents, like the humans, would rather deflect and be like, oh, that would be so amazing if like the 12 calls I get a day about what our business hours are would be handled by something else.
Yeah. And I think also there needs to be career progression in every department. People come into support and they're not going to know enough about your product. So you've got to put them on the low level stuff or give them an agent that they can talk to that's going to answer the questions for them. So you're augmenting a human on the inside with an agent. So agents can be internal facing or external facing. Agents are not going to wholeheartedly replace programmers. That's what people are saying this week. And agents are not going to replace wholeheartedly, you know, all customer support and all junior sales, because where's the next generation of those people going to come from if they didn't get the job experience? So I imagine a pyramid of work. We're going to shave off an edge. We're going to reduce the volume mm-hmm. by using agents and with cost savings. But then we still need to develop people as humans, as job people. Mm-hmm. We need to develop the ability to reason and have the experience of having held a job to know how to properly use the agents going forward. I'm sure our understanding will evolve, but I definitely think this is an augmentation and offloading of tasks. And it's also a way for your support organization to work 24/7.
Yeah,
Because
exactly.
the people
That's
only
no,
work 8 hours a day.
sure. No, it's a great point. And I think,
Or
especially as you grow, right? If you grow into more countries and you grow globally, all that just expands across time frames and time zones. And I think those internal use cases are really good places for people to start. So on my
it is.
side, I thought it was interesting that, I did a little reading on the advanced reasoning engine. And
Yeah.
really what I love about it is just this idea that, hey, one of the things about being human that makes us really special is our ability to take lots of disparate data and then step back a sec and process, and synthesize that and dovetail it and see what else it connects to. And I love how this reasoning engine seems to be saying, hey, we're going to focus a little bit more on effectiveness rather than on expediency. We're not going to worry about being so fast. We're willing to be a little slower if it gives us the ability to more deeply engage with the material and come up with better answers, not just faster answers, which I love that emphasis on quality. And I also think about from a people first perspective, right? It's just really trying to emulate the excellent ability that people have to do this. And so these agents can start to become more familiar to us as, for an internal agent, right? As a staffer or to a customer who's engaging with an agent.
I think so too. I listened to a podcast internally that we have for our engineering department, and they were talking about the structure of Atlas and the fact that there's multiple LLMs being used. And most interestingly, they're being used in parallel. There's an event bus between the LLMs so that a job can be fired off across the LLMs. They can all come back at their leisure, but lots of work is parallelized. And then the reasoning engine can go collect the conclusions from all the LLMs and then operate based on that. So that should improve the quality. A thoughtful answer is better than, but what we're used to right now is getting stalled by a support agent who's doing their best, but they're handling five chats at once. So the first chat is something silly like, "Hi, my name is John, and I'm here to provide the best support for you. Please tell me your question." Oh, okay. And I have to go through this whole, it's designed to be slow on purpose so that the support agent has time to go between different chats. And that's not the way this is going to be. This is an agent dedicated to your execution right now, and it's going to be a better experience.
Yeah, that's really good. I just the final point on that is I've always loved how Salesforce essentially had two major products. If you think about like I bifurcate the front end and the back end. Like a lot of CRM providers provide the front end, right? But Salesforce really differentiates themselves by providing the admin area and saying for everything that we do, we need to provide some aspect of this on the admin area. And I love that. At least in the article I was reading, they said one of the major challenges for implementing an agent is that most of it was all designed for bespoke development, right? Where you would have coupled development web services back and forth. And so figuring out how they can implement this in a series of YAML files that can then be versioned and now be distributed and now be deployable, right? I thought was an amazing advent. And they had to go through a lot of extra R&D to figure out, okay, great, we know we can do this, but now we have to do it in the approach and model that we've committed to for our customer base and for our consultants and for all of our, the Salesforce pros that are out there so that they can do all of the DevOps and the things that they need to do with this. We need to solve this harder problem. So I thought that was really
Yeah,
interesting. They
this
said
is
building the agent was
super
actually
cool.
easier than basically putting in the incrementalism and kind of development capability in the declarative or the DevOps kind of model. That was the more difficult challenge for them to do, and I just think it's to
Yeah.
their credit.
There's a lot of dependencies. Your agent has topics. Your topics have actions. Your actions are tied to flows. And if you're going to deploy that from sandbox to production, oh my God, I got to think about the order in which I do things. The agents go up
Sure.
first, then the top go up, then, but the flows have to be there too. I can imagine it's pretty complex that they,
Well, and
the
all the
way they
stuff in the
had to
back
break it.
end that we don't do as well, right? Because all of the connections with the LLMs and all of the trust layer dimensions and all of that stuff all has to be connected as this all moves around, So it's definitely a significant work. So let's talk a little bit about career trends today. So I think the big news that I saw, right, was, and there was an article that went viral on Salesforce Ben that, Mark Benioff says, we're not going to hire any new developers this year because we're already 30% more productive, and we expect that our AI teams are going to be able to deliver whatever we need. And same with Meta, and Tesla said the
know.
same thing. Really fascinating. So my question is, like, are junior and mid-level developers, like, is that role going away?
Yeah, I don't know the answer. Mark Benioff is a smart guy, and he was a developer, so he must have a good perspective on what he's saying. It could be that we're just going to come to the table as junior developers with already assuming the junior developer will use AI and will be 30% more productive than a non-AI enabled junior developer. Also, it could be that we just acquired a couple companies and there's an influx of developers in Salesforce with some acquisitions and some recent hiring. So maybe we don't need developers for the next year. And also, yes, they're also being more productive with the use of AI that we have. There are Apex specific language libraries that we use. Apex Guru, I think, is one that's part of. You can use it in the IDE as a public Salesforce developer. So I don't think the junior developer is going away, but I do think that we're going to only hire people going forward who can show that they know how to use AI while they're developing.
Yeah, very interesting. And so that, role erosion, right? So there's lots of ways of learning how to use those tools. Einstein Assistant, Agentforce for developers, very good. Okay, good. What's on your mind?
On my side, careers, we're doing a ton of hiring. People on my team come from backgrounds like I'm a technical architect leader at Salesforce on the pre-sales team. And so the sales engineers work with us when things turn into integration or customization or code or development or integration or Agentforce or Data Cloud. So we handle those data architecture, integration architecture questions. We're hiring more TAs, we're hiring more sales engineers. And I guess consider it as a option. If you're looking for careers, I was a consultant and a programmer and a technical IT consultant before, and I was evaluating vendors until I became part of a vendor. And I had never evaluated Salesforce, but I already knew the IT space. And so I was a good fit to be a sales engineer talking to IT people. And I guess as you think about your careers, there's your space in Salesforce. There's being an admin of Salesforce. There's being a Salesforce consultant. Those are both sides of a market. One's a buyer, one's a seller. You could be a sales engineer and be on the selling side of Salesforce as well. So people on my team have consulting backgrounds. They used to be admins. They used to be developers, and they liked Salesforce. And so they reached out to me on LinkedIn or somebody else and said, or they found the job posting on Salesforce Careers, and they were able to make that leap by looking at their skill set and going like, I think I can do this job because they're talking to people like me. And so that's another thing to think about when you're thinking about your career.
That's good. So there might be people who are admins, but they really kind of like stepping up into, more complex ideas and, solutioning. And so it might be a good option for them because I think you hire, you're not looking necessarily for senior people, right? Like you guys will
No.
hire some people who are junior and continue to grow them.
Yeah, we need to see that somebody has an interest in Salesforce, has some experience with Salesforce, ideally, maybe a cert or two, and ideally some job experience. And that's kind of where the door opens, I think, for entry sales engineer jobs and sales jobs, whatever kind of job, professional services, customer support. I think that's where the door opens.
Okay, very cool. So let's talk about what we're excited about.
Yeah. So I drink a lot of Kool-Aid from Salesforce. So of course I'm playing with the tool. I was just telling you earlier, I was just configuring my demo instance to show an agent exposed in Slack, which is one of our most recent feature releases. And so I'm just excited to see what this year brings. Data Cloud has a release like every 6 weeks, so it's changing fast. Agentforce has seemingly the same pace of release. And there's so much innovation. I learned this week that we have a team that's looking out for, we're always concerned about security at Salesforce, and we have a white hat AI exploitation team that we're using to find issues with using agents before our customers do. We're using it too, but we need to look at security, we need to look at all kinds of things. So it's exciting to see how much development is happening across the platform, and it'll be a different world next year. It just, so much change is happening.
Yeah, it is pretty incredible. Definitely a time if you're listening, you definitely want to get on board. I think I was actually a late bloomer to AI. Last year, I was a little ambivalent towards it in some ways. And I think my attitude now is really like it's just something that we need to, if we're going to give it boundaries, and we're going to understand where its limits are. We have to understand what it is, and we have to understand what its capabilities are, and that just requires full and deep engagement. And so, that's certainly my perspective, and I see a lot of really good, beneficial things that can be done. I'll put also in the show notes. I watched a great podcast with Marc Andreessen, just talking a little bit about some AI ethics, which is very good, with Jordan Peterson. But what I'm excited about is Architect Dreamin is coming to the US. I guess they've had these events prior, but not in the US. So it's a full day of just architect related items. And so I might meet a few people there and send them your way as it relates
Is
to
that next week?
opportunities.
When is that?
It's next week in Arizona, Architect
Yeah.
Dreamin. Yeah.
Cool.
It's at Cactus Force, and Cactus Force
Cool.
is a community event in Arizona and Scottsdale. So I'm going there. Essentially, I'm going to try and go to six or eight of those this year as we look to kind of get a little bit more visibility on the professional development side with People First Method, right? Engaging with partners and others on DevPod for Salesforce partners. So just trying to dig in and hear more from the community and see where I can add value. So that's super exciting. And also, we've been using Elements Cloud for probably almost 5 years,
Is that
and
the one that
we
auto documents your org? Is
so
what
it
you're doing?
essentially, yes, it's a discovery tool.
Okay.
And so, I mean, we love it because it'll tell you, hey, of all the fields you're using, you're not using, this many percentage have no values, this many
Cool.
records have no values. It'll, provide ways for you to just create user stories. They have a Chrome extension, so while you're in Salesforce, your team can be like, hey, this should be, it's basically a feedback gatherer. So, hey, this should be changed, and it captures all kinds of cool metadata from that screen. Well, now they also have a way to provide from a UPA diagram, a UPN diagram, which is basically like your swim lane diagram design, as you were talking about. I have an agent, and I have a particular job to be done. And that
Yeah.
job to be done has some
Yeah.
topics with they have some tasks, and some of those tasks are flows. There might be some data augmentation or RAG work that's going on in there. I can map it all out in visual form so everybody can understand this is the stuff to be doing. And then I can click create instructions, and it'll produce all the instructions for me. And I can take those instructions and I can copy them, paste them
Cool.
into Salesforce. I can add on some people first dimensions around persona, for like this is who you're reasoning as, and this is the output we need, language, whatever it might be. And what's great about it is not only does that make it so that the process is kind of understandable and less fragmented, but I also have governance now. So, like, as I go and I iterate on this, I just go back to my UPN diagram. I add another task here. I
Wow.
update a little bit of how I describe it. And I say create instructions again. And I go back and I basically do the same thing. But now I have, rather than it being kind of this random thing where I'm typing directly into Salesforce, I have a kind of a locus, if you will, of all of us kind of looking at the same picture and understand the same process. And other people can also go in, modify that, create instructions, and do that. So, we're very excited. We're working on a proof of concept with that. It really just came out on Christmas Eve. And so it's good. I mean, Ian Gotts and team over there are doing some amazing work of trying to make this a lot faster. So very excited about that process and just being able to bring that to clients and help them understand that once you find that use case, that hey, it's $13 per call when I use my human, and now I can get it down to $2 per call or $4 if it takes two calls on the agent to get it done. Now we can provide a way to provide governance, change control, visual clarity, and
Yeah.
a very simple way to take advantage of Agentforce. So good stuff.
I think it's great. We don't offer anything like that as a product. We use something like that, our Agentforce World Tour, where you can describe a problem to the agent and it breaks down the jobs to be done by using a language model on the back end to say, extract the job to be done. What are the potential topics? Do you have enough information to decide the topics? If not, prompt for more information.
Wow, that sounds
The
amazing.
customers have been asking, can we have that? I need a scribe to draw my agent
Yes, I need an
reporting out of it.
interview. I need someone to
I need an
interview me.
interview.
Yes.
Exactly. So this is what it sounds like it's helping with. Put some structure
Yes,
around that.
it is. Yeah. So, well, good.
Cool.
Let's
That's great.
talk about what's something noteworthy that inspires you over the last week.
So I'm at the end of the year, and our fiscal year ends in 2 weeks, and then we're going to start for Q1. And Q1, Q2 is a time of investing in our customers. We just all went through, our customers and us went through Q4, and it's time to take what was purchased, now implement it, and spend time investing in our customers, not just selling stuff to them, but also investing in ourselves. And we do a lot of training in the first half of the year. I just went through a presentation on college applications for my daughter who's in high school, presented by the college counselors at our school. They did a great job. These four people ran a great meeting. And basically, what I'm excited about, or it's not a quote highlight or axiom, but if it's noteworthy, what inspires me, I love talking to somebody or watching, listening to somebody who is a great speaker. And there's entertainment, there's intrigue, there's information that makes up a great speaker. There's volume, there's velocity, there's variability in your delivery that I think keeps it interesting. But the other thing that totally is something to watch out for everybody is executive speaking skills. Can you tell when you're talking to somebody that their eyes are rolling back in their heads? Do they cut you off and say, too many words, sum it up for me? Those are signs that you're talking to somebody who wants the distilled version. What's the action item? Don't tell me the why, don't tell me the how. What can I do for you? And we're not ready for that, especially as we go from consultant to developer, problem solver in the details to manager and to interfacing with different organizations. Everyone around you will appreciate you so much more if you're a great presenter, and everybody above you and around you will appreciate you more if you're a great executive presenter. It's not about having a clicker, it's not about wearing a jacket, it's about just adjusting your content and words. Technical, more technical, less technical to your audience. And I love it when I witness somebody who's like, nice job. Like, that was great.
Yeah, that's good to see excellence. And the other aspect is just a matter of this is why you go to a restaurant and they don't serve all of your courses at the same time, right?
Yeah.
They let your appetite drive the demand, right? And it's
Totally.
like you come home, it's like you smell the cookies and they're just waiting. Oh, can I
Yeah.
have one? Well, sure. I'm glad you asked, right? And now you're ready for the next bit, right? And let your appetite
Yeah.
drive it. So that's good recognition there. What I've been inspired by this week is I did a show with the Salesforce Career Show, and that is a podcast focused on helping people who are looking to kind of move into or move higher in the Salesforce ecosystem. It's hosted by Josh Matthews. And so as part of our the People First Method program that I'm a part of, we are kind of partnering with them on a cohort. And so I've been able to interview their listeners who are looking to be qualified to join our cohort. And it's just been wonderful to hear just the stories that how people got into the ecosystem, what they've been able to accomplish as they've been in there, the challenges that they're having when, they get into challenging elements in projects and political turmoil and just difficulties. And so it's just been fun to just meet people, and the diversity is amazing. I mean, it's like people from all different backgrounds, people from Zimbabwe, from India, from Canada, right? People who are, both East and West Coast here, the people from Peru. And it's just been so fun to see the Salesforce is everywhere, which I've known that, right?
Amazing.
But it's so fun to see and meet people who are in these locations, and they're serving people in those locations, and they're working with companies in those locations. And so the opportunity to be able to kind of contribute back this program that, was founded after 15, 20 years of doing this work, here in the US. And so it's been really fun to just hear their stories and see their interest. I mean, it's like you're talking about with people who are excellent at what they're doing. Being surrounded by people who are absolutely voracious and have a high appetite for improving themselves, who want to be better, who are reaching out to you and saying, "Hey, what do you think I could do better?" They're not at all self-conscious about receiving feedback and criticism, but they just are like, "I know I can do something better. You got to have something to share with me. What books can I read? How can I prepare?" It's so neat to see that kind of just people looking to enrich themselves with wisdom, right? And to prepare and to sharpen their saw. It's so refreshing. And so it's been very, very, very refreshing and inspiring. And I'm really looking forward to having 24 weeks with these people as they go through the program and find that internal transformation that kind of helps them, kind of enter and to go higher in the ecosystem.
That'd be exciting.
Well, good. So I think we'll have a little bit of a short show this week. Looking forward to coming back soon, and I'll have a report from Cactus Force next
Yes.
week and from Architect Dreamin, which will be excellent. Please, anyone who'd like to leave us a message, please, you can call and leave a message at 540 trial-75. That's 540 trial-75. We will have it in the show notes as well. And please subscribe on our social channels. We have our YouTube channel, we have Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn, and we have our website that's fully functional at salesforcetrailsandtrials.com. Please share it with a friend, and we look forward to chatting next week.
See ya.
Thanks for joining us on another episode of Salesforce Trails and Trials. If you found this episode valuable, we would love your help reaching others. Please subscribe, leave us a 5-star review, and share this with another who would benefit.